You're listening to Valley Edition on Valley Public Radio. I'm Joe Moore. One of today's brightest young stars in the world of hip-hop is from Fresno. His name is Fashawn.
Limitations, I ain't had none. A young black kid, brainwashed by rap and rock. VCRs, I had a Magnavox.
He's been on the cover of XXL magazine. He's toured internationally with some of the biggest MCs. And his own recordings and videos, like the critically acclaimed Boy Meets World, combine clever wordplay and rhythms with a message. Last November, he produced his own hip-hop festival in Fresno and released his latest mixtape, Champagne and Styrofoam Cups. His latest album, This Generation, is a collaboration with the legendary hip-hop artist Murs. Fashawn is also the headline artist at this Saturday's second annual Catacomb Party, a massive free music festival taking place on the Fulton Mall in downtown Fresno. Fashawn joins us now on Valley Public Radio. Welcome.
What's going on, Joe? How you feeling?
Oh, feeling great and pleased to have you with us today.
Thanks for having a youngin' like myself. Appreciate it.
I want to talk about your music and this concert that's coming up in a little bit. But before we do that, for our listeners who aren't familiar with you and your story, I want to talk about where you come from. And it really is an amazing story. You're from Fresno, grew up here.
Yeah.
Went to McLean High School,
but
your family life was a challenge.
I went to McLean High School, and I got kicked out. You know, you can go to Wikipedia that. It's like the most notable students that ever went there, and it says Santiago Leyva, you know, and but in red it says never graduated. And so I went there, then I got kicked out and went to the school called Carter G. Woodson, and that's really why I figured out that I was that I don't know, a lot of teachers couldn't teach me, and that I was just more of a self-educated type of person. You know, I like to, you know, seek the knowledge on my own. But as far as my family life, really didn't have much of a family at all. I had my mother. Well, she gave birth to me, but she never had me. You know what I'm saying? Like, she was there not even half the time, you know. But when she was there, it was awesome. You know, she made us dinner, but she gave us a lot of affection and knowledge and wisdom. But the streets had her, and her drug addiction had her. So, and my father, he was a member of the Bulldog Gang, if you're familiar with those guys. And he's been in prison my whole life. I still, to this day, I don't know him. I know where he lives, you know. He still lives on First Street, the block I claim dearly, you know. But I had to overcome just the absence of them. I guess the freedom of having no limitations, like no one to really guide you, and really always seeking that male figure, even and that female figure. I had to go to the streets to find it, to gather all these, you know, things that I know now. You know, I didn't get to learn them inside of my household, so I was told God's favorite struggle the most, so they're obstacles, but they're like something that I feel like they were put there to strengthen me for what was to come.
Your Uncle Roy played a big part in your life in
absolutely
turning things around. When you were eight, you were placed in a group home. And
he took us out of that, basically. He took us out of that. We went through a lot of different places, like the Marjorie Mason Center, the Craycroft Center, and just a lot of random places. But eventually, my uncle Roy wasn't having that. And he was like, "I'll take my sister's kids if no one else is gonna keep them, or I'll take them. At least they'll be with some family, some blood." And he took care of me from 8 until 18, you know. And then we moved from First Street, and I had to like fend for myself from at that point, you know. But that's my guy, though. That's my pops to me. You know, he's more than an uncle. That's the patriarch of my life. Yeah.
What role did music play when you were a teenager and going through those tough times? Was that something that you were always striving for? That this is a way out.
It was an outlet. It was music and skateboarding. Like skateboarding, I could physically go out and express myself, express my pain, and even just falling felt good, and getting back up and doing a trick again and landing, like that felt good. But music was definitely I could channel, you know, my thoughts and my feelings and my emotions, like, in the music. Because I was still making it, like, from 12, 11 years old, I was still, like, writing and producing music. It might not have been the best quality, but I was still doing that. But as far as, like, listening to it and being fans of certain artists and being inspired by other people, it helped a lot, because that was, like, the most consistent thing in my life since birth was music in my living room. You know what I mean? Whether my parents were there or not, it was always a radio blast. I'd always hear Aretha Franklin's voice or like Anita Baker's voice. It was like more than I heard my own mother's voice. So it was very influential in my life as it is today, you know. But yeah, it became a best friend or a mother and father when that wasn't available. That's what music was for me. It was more than just la-da-da-dee-da out the speaker, you know.
You're in the studio right now working on a new album called The Ecology. And
yes,
I want to listen to the song that gives the album its name right
indeed,
now.
Indeed, indeed.
Let's listen to it a little bit.
Here, underage girls having seeds at the age of 17. Baby daddy signing up for the Marines. Black streets filled with crack and pipe dreams.
Tell us about this.
It's like a journal entry. It's like me sitting on my stairs just looking out at my neighborhood, you know, and at the time, that was First and Shields Avenue. It was really messed up at the time. Really messed up at the time. Still is to this day. But I really just wanted to show what it was like to be a 20-year-old young man in Fresno, or in this world, you know what I'm saying, and stuff that we deal with in the environments and circumstances that we live in. That's what The Ecology was about. It wasn't just about the behavior, but it was about what provokes that behavior, you know, what mentality provokes these kind of behaviors, what, you know, households produce these kind of men, you know what I'm saying, that we call thugs or gangsters, you know. It was The Ecology and everything behind that.
Capital, we gotta get paid. That's the mind state that boosts the crime rate. Just lost souls trying to find their way through this puzzle, every ghetto in wider lake. Deep inside, I know it's time for a change. Wish I could reach them, but I got both feet in the grave and still sinking. The environment a driving insane, flooded with demons.
And that's what the album is about, ultimately. You know, I took that small concept that I did for one song, and I think it applies to every aspect in life, whether you're from the ghetto, whether you're from the middle class, high class, if that even exists anymore. It's just song from the earth for the earth. Yeah.
How has your music changed?
It's just evolved with me as a person, you know? Like, I went from this, I used to like write graffiti, and I used to be a pharmacist and do a lot of dumb stuff, you know? But as I became an influential person and I seen my influence on kids and people, just period, that kind of changed me. It kind of helped me evolve to be more of the leader that I always said I was in my music. I really evolved and it kind of manifested in my life. I'd always say it like, yo, I'm the general, I'm the leader, the prophet, or et cetera. But as I grew older, it kind of really manifested, and I really became more conscious of what I spat out my mouth, and even what I consume, like with my eyes and my ears and my mouth, everything. I just became a little more conscious with time. And I guess my music is synonymous with that. It's the same. It's just me. It changes with me. It evolves with me every other year, you know, so.
If you just joined us today on Valley Public Radio, our guest is Fashawn. He has been called one of the brightest young stars in the world of hip-hop. He is from Fresno, and we're talking about his amazing life story and his rise to stardom and his newest record that's called This Generation. It's a collaboration between Fashawn and another artist, a very well-known hip-hop artist called Murs from Southern California. We're going to listen to the title track now, and I want you to tell us a little about this song.
Well, mama said she was late, still even in his absence. I had to adjust with the madness, grew up a little quicker than your average, cause limitations I ain't had none. A young black kid, brainwashed by rap and rock. VCRs, I had a Magnavox. Back in high school, we had the campus locked.
Tell us about this song.
This Generation is a song to, I guess, fill this imaginary generational gap that's between us, you know, like between like me and Murs and my hip-hop generation and his hip-hop generation and just everyone's generation, culturally, socially, you name it. Because it really doesn't matter what year you were born or what year you died, because we all living in right now. We all living in the now. So, and that's this generation, you know. Everyone's a part of it. Whether you old, new, black, white, yellow, or brown, it doesn't matter. That's really what the origin for the song was.
I was reading another interview that you did, and you said you want to be more than an MC. You want to do other things. You said you'd like to open a skate shop.
You said
if you weren't doing what you're doing now, you might want to be a journalist. You wrote for the paper at McLean. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I did. Why'd you read that one? I did write
my
for,
research.
Good. I did write for McLean High School's newspaper. But yeah, if I wasn't rapping, I mean, if I wasn't fashion, I'd be involved in all of that, you know, because that's just really just an extension of what I do as fashion, you know, like the journalistic side of what I do is, you know, me going to research these concepts, you know, actually going out and studying my topic, you know, of what I'm talking about. I think that's really the journalistic side and how I feed it to my audience, you know, as information. It's not just entertainment, it's information as well.
You're working on a new album right now. Tell me, sir, about it.
The Ecology, I'm working on it with Exile and a few other people. We're not going to say their names, but what we did in 2009 with that album, Boy Meets World, was really special, you know what I'm saying? And I think I have a lot more to say after seeing the world. On my first album, I feel like I was a really naive kid that just had assumptions of what the world would be like, you know, in Boy Meets World. On the Ecology, it's continuing that story. This is the man now. It's more like Man Meets World.
What does Fresno mean to you, both good and bad?
Well, first of all, on the good side, it's home to me. It's where all my memories are, all my lessons and all my wisdom comes from. It's my foundation for everything that I am now and probably everything that I will be, you know. It's a really humble place, you know. Economically, it's economically deprived, but I don't think that takes away from the richness of the people, the heart and soul of this particular city and the San Joaquin Valley. And like when people call it a farm town, I don't understand that, you know. I know I don't come from that Fresno, you know. I didn't grow up on a vineyard or a farm, you know. I grew up smelling the vineyards, you know, like on Shields Avenue. Like you can wake up early in the morning and smell the crushed grapes from the fields and stuff like that. Like, but you can look out and see graffiti and crackheads and people on a corner panhandling and stuff like that. But it's just the juxtaposition of the two, you know, it makes it beautiful to me. I love Fresno, and that's why I'm back here. You know what I'm saying? That's why you don't get that same feeling in L.A. or New York, or, you know, this is home to me.
It's part of who you are.
Yeah, it's who I am, and I feel like I'm just a reflection. I'm a reflection of that. You know, I'm a reflection of the town and everything this whole area has to offer. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I am the voice of the area, just like yourself, sir, you know?
The Catacomb Party is coming up on Saturday. Last year, it was a big event. This year, I think even about twice as many bands performing. It's a huge event. You're headlining the
I didn't even know I was headlining. That's crazy. Thanks for letting me know, Joe. I didn't know. Now I'm nervous. That was just going to be a party. You know?
What's this going to be like?
It's going to be fun. It's going to be I just got like a really fun set, you know. Since I heard the word party, I didn't think about performance. I thought about party. So it's going to be a really fun set. And I think I might bring out some special guests now that I know I'm headlining. Who knows, man? It's going to be a lot of fun.
Again, our guest today on Valley Public Radio is Fashawn. People can check you out online where?
At Fashawn on Twitter. Fashawn.ca is my website. And check me out there. Mostly on Instagram, though. I really like the IG. Hit me on Instagram, The Real Fashawn.
All right, Fashawn, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for having me, brother.